1340WNBS.com presents the Neil Bradley Show. Your expanded look at local and regional sports with weekly guests or experts in their field. With today's show, here's Neil Bradley.
All right, we'll get that expanded look at sports coming up in just a bit. Talk about Murray State basketball schedule, some local sports happening last night, the Cardinals with another victory, all that coming up in just a bit. But before we do, it's Tuesday, and that means Josh Planos is along. And Josh, last week, dropped an article at 538.com about the backup quarterback who gets paid a lot to never play. And this is a youngster I've seen up close and personal, Chase Daniel, and he was at Mizzou. He lit up the Racers one afternoon. It wasn't pretty, but we got our paycheck and went home, as we usually do in those kinds of games. But I could see he was going to be a terrific quarterback, yet he serves as the backup. Just give us a little taste of what your article's about, Josh.
Yeah, he ranked 72nd all-time among quarterbacks in career earnings, despite having thrown 78 career passes. So he's making pretty well off for himself, considering he has two starts in, I think, nine professional seasons. He's got a Super Bowl ring. I don't think he played a single snap that entire season. And yet he just got a two-year, $10 million deal with the Bears this offseason to be their backup, and 70%, so $7 million of that is guaranteed. And that's a really high percentage given, kind of what he's bringing to the table. Usually those deals are, the high percentage guarantee contracts are reserved for, people who are kind of locked in on like a lottery pick rookie scale wage, or, maybe the Kirk Cousins of the world, the guys who just signed big deals this offseason. So you wouldn't really expect Chase Daniel to kind of even be in this conversation. But, he's kind of the perennial backup, and, good on him for making the kind of money he's making to essentially hold a clipboard.
Does that say a lot about Chase Daniel's skill set, or a lot about the skill set of Chase Daniel's agent?
Probably a little bit of both. I would guess the agent more so, but I don't want to diminish what he's bringing to the table, because clearly there seem to be like two schools of thought with regard to backup quarterbacks. You've got, you invest in a young guy who's maybe going to push the starter, maybe overtake the starter down the road. And then you kind of, the other version is to, kind of invest in like a vet, somebody who can, I guess, earn their check by providing mentorship and getting the new guys kind of up to speed. And clearly Daniel's been the latter, but it sure seems like he's been the latter for his whole career. And I know that there's got to be value in having a locker room presence and an experienced guy to kind of shepherd in the new talent you have. But I always thought that was the job of the quarterback's coach. You've got an offensive coordinator as well. You've got all sorts of coaching positions, and yet, this guy is paid to effectively not play. I think a lot of his hand was kind of dealt for him in that, he went to New Orleans and backed up Drew Brees, who's, an all-time great. He went to Kansas City and backed up Alex Smith, who's, probably at the, top half of the league quarterback. He signed a three-year, $21 million deal with Philly, and then, 2 weeks later, they drafted Carson Wentz. So, he hasn't really had, a really great opportunity to win some of these positions, and it's definitely not anything to sneer at. But it's just kind of incredible the kind of money that he's generated for himself, despite, playing very little on the field.
Well, you can check out the entire article. Our listeners invite you to check that out. We have the link posted, and you can have a look at that at 538.com. Speaking of quarterbacks, it looks as if the Buffalo Bills plan on starting Josh Allen on Sunday against Cincinnati. I know that it doesn't say they're going to do that for the regular season, but they've been pleased with what he's done so far, Josh.
Yeah, it's a bummer what happened to A.J. McCarron. Obviously, we don't know. Or at least I have not heard when he's going to be available after, injuring his collarbone. But obviously that takes him out of the mix for the foreseeable future. I think we saw a little bit of what Nathan Peterman can offer last year, and a lot of it wasn't all that good. So if you're Buffalo, you may as well roll the dice. I mean, there might be some long-term consequences. I'm not a huge fan of, shoving a rookie onto the field immediately just for just for the sake of doing it. You know, for instance, for a recent example, I don't think Cleveland should be starting Baker Mayfield, in the first half of the season when you've got, Tyrod Taylor. But with Buffalo, you're kind of, stuck between a rock and a hard place here with, you've got inexperience at all levels of the depth chart. And you may as well, run with the guy that you spent, a pretty valuable pick, on selecting. So, I guess we'll get a good opportunity to see him against the Bengals. It'll still be a preseason game. It'll, no matter what, it will be a preseason game, and the expectations and results should be, taken in context. But a really great opportunity for Josh Allen to kind of get his reps in and make a good impact on the coaching staff.
Still on the subject of young quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson with Baltimore. Okay, his first week, not so good last week, 7-15. He doesn't appear to be the guy they're looking at to start this season, but they are looking for a backup, and right now it appears to be between him and maybe RG3 to be the number two quarterback. Is this a critical week or two for Lamar Jackson in that regard?
For sure. I mean, we never know, I guess, what kind of contracts teams want on their books as far as, having, three quarterbacks. I mean, that's not, all that atypical, but you don't want to be, paying an exorbitant amount for three guys and two of them aren't playing at all. Mm-hmm. I don't know why everybody's kind of kicking the tires on Lamar Jackson when, he was 7-15, he threw a touchdown. I always thought that he was kind of an inconsistent passer as far as, the optics of his, of the balls he was throwing in Louisville just kind of always felt like they were, maybe a little off target and sure. Maybe a little bit amplified by, who his receivers were and how much space they were given. But the dual threat aspect is why you, brought him on, and he's always going to have that in his back pocket. And I think it's way too early to be considering kicking the tires on him. Which I actually heard on the radio this morning, a local guy was discussing whether or not they should part ways, and it just seems like, that's an absurd reach here.
Sure.
At this point. But I really like his poise. I think that he's looked to be a great leader. He's obviously flashed the speed, and if he can just get the reads up to speed, there's a lot to learn in the NFL. So hopefully Flacco will help him out. And it just seems like it's Joe's team for the foreseeable future. And that's not all that bad of a thing if you're Lamar Jackson.
Now, on a veteran quarterback, Andrew Luck of the Colts, coming off of an injury season, 6-13, 50 yards. The good news is he was sacked twice and didn't get hurt. I guess that's the best news that came out of that, right?
Yeah, I think that's a really bad team. I think that they made some good, hires. I'm not sure that I would be, super psyched about the team moving forward, though. I mean, it just sure seems like they have a lot of issues at a lot of different position groups. I thought it was a pretty sloppy effort they put forth, like you mentioned. Luck had a really interesting comment after the game where he said, it's great that, a guy like Terrell Suggs was able to sack me and I was able to, fall on the arm that got injured and the shoulder that got injured and, pop back up and brush it off and get right back into the huddle. So, that's obviously very important as far as, the psychology of the quarterback position is concerned. And hopefully he took, a much needed step in the right direction.
The Redskins, Washington signing Adrian Peterson. He gets a one-year deal. What will his role be with them as you see it?
Well, it'll be interesting to see because he kind of went to a few teams recently and expected to beat out the starters.
Sure.
and be that workhorse, and it obviously did not pan out. So it'll be interesting to see. I think that he will have a great opportunity with Darius Geis dropping for him to earn the reps. Maybe be, a featured back, if you will. But, I really like Rob Kelly. I think he's phenomenal. So I would, it might be a split carry situation, which we know, I think, from an ego perspective is not really in Adrian Peterson's interest. It'll be interesting. I would love to be a fly on the wall in the locker room and see how he handles it because, it'll be a really good test because I don't see him beating out Rob Kelly, but I also don't see them bringing in a guy like Adrian Peterson and relegating him to the sideline.
On to college football, we may get a decision tomorrow. The Ohio State Board of Trustees will meet. Urban Meyer's fate, I guess, hangs in the air as far as his future with the program. Do you have any leanings one way or the other on how you believe that may go?
I think the longer the investigation is dragged out, I think the more likely it is that he's going to return. It sure seems like the iron is hottest, you know, right after it's removed from the fire, and it just seems like some of the suspense, at least on my end, has kind of fallen off. I still, you know, would be very, cognizant of the investigation and the investigation's findings, and I, you know, personally believe that he should be held responsible for the actions of his employees. But we're just kind of kept in the dark for so long that at a certain point you feel like the university might be able to get away with something like this, with foregoing it, which is really a sad reality. We'll just kind of have to wait and see. I don't exactly know, what they're looking at, with the exception of the timeline, both the reported one and the one that their findings will conclude. But it's going to be a rough 24 hours regardless of where you stand on the issue, and hopefully they make the right decision for everybody's interest at the university.
A handful of college football games this week, but then almost everyone gets going the following week. Our AP Top 25 released yesterday. Alabama for a third straight year ranked number one. That equals Oklahoma, I think, from a couple of decades or more ago, where they were ranked number one three consecutive seasons. Clemson, Georgia, Wisconsin, Ohio State. So it's the usual suspects in there for the most part. I know last year when that first poll came out, Washington was ranked higher than we thought. I think they ended up 13th last year in the final poll. They're ranked number six this week. Anything that jumped out at you at the first AP college football poll, Josh?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that Wisconsin picked up a number one vote in the AP top 25. I mean, we see Georgia didn't receive any, and yet here's Wisconsin kind of seemingly out of nowhere. I think they've got a really interesting team this year. It seems like a lot of the same, and that they've got a really strong offensive line. They've got this, terrific running back, and kind of like, a little bit of a question mark at quarterback. I don't know if they think that they're going to get, enough out of Hornibrook to, take them to the next level, but they really do have a pretty favorable schedule, which I'm staring at now. They only have, I think, two road games against top 25 opponents, and that's Michigan and Penn State. And so you feel like if they hold their own, in those games, that they're going to be just fine and, potentially run the table. But I just thought it was curious. I can't remember the last time Wisconsin even got, a number one vote in any,
right,
preseason top 25. It just seems like it's such an easy team to kind of overlook, and is almost unhypeable in how conservative, their play calling seems to be. And like the aura of the program, if you will. So I was just kind of curious to see that. And more of the same with Alabama and Clemson. I think everybody knows that they're, head and shoulders above the rest of the country. I think a lot of that has to do with the recruits they're pulling in. It's, easy to reload when you're restocking the cupboard with, all sorts of five stars.
Not a lot of NBA news. I just want to get one take before I let you go, and that's the ESPN series that discusses the mental health issues as far as the NBA, anxiety and depression in the NBA. And it's something we rarely think about, especially when it's coming from stars. Guys trying to hang on, you could maybe see, could have some issues. But it, to me, goes to show you that it's across all of our society. It doesn't matter how successful or unsuccessful someone is. It can certainly affect them, and these are some eye-opening issues that we're seeing, and some really, I think, stories that could really be helpful to a lot of people that we're seeing this week, Josh.
Yeah, I think it's a tremendous series. I'm glad that they put Jackie McMullen on it. She's as good a writer and journalist as you'll find in the NBA and in professional sports, and I thought she really handled the subject matter carefully and with compassion. Depression is not reserved to any race or creed or subgrouping. Depression can be found anywhere, is found everywhere, And, you know, it's important to lend a helping hand if you can, and to at least be considerate that, you know, you might not know what someone else is going through. In fact, you almost certainly don't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the NBA specifically, you know, a lot of these players are traumatized. Not all of them came from inner cities, but a significant portion did. And I can't personally relate to that in any way. And I can never know what you know, somebody like DeMar DeRozan, who, you know, came from, you know, Compton, had to go through in order to get into the current position he's in. But, you know, I've got a lot of respect for the people who are willing to, you know, let their emotions show on their sleeve, who are willing to speak up and be a voice for those who feel like they don't have one. And hopefully this story can shed some light on, you know, a topic that, you know, we don't nearly discuss enough.
All right, Josh, great thoughts there. Appreciate all that you do for us as far as the show, and we'll point people to the direction of your terrific article. All right, thanks so much, and we'll chat with you next week, and get ready for a week of college football.
Let's go. Thanks for having me, Neil.
All right, that is Josh Planos. Ed Marlowe will join me on tomorrow's show. All right, stay tuned. We will have a look at the Murray State basketball schedule that was released yesterday and some other sports nuggets for you. That is all coming up next, right after this.
This month only, you can get an unbelievable deal for a full season of Racer football games. During August, Racer football family packs are only $49. You get four tickets for all five home games. You heard right. Four tickets for all five home games for only $49. Racer football kicks off at Stewart Stadium on Thursday, August 30th, when the Racers battle SIU. Call 270-809-3000 or stop by the ticket office to get this August-only special and join us at Stewart Stadium all season for Racer football.
All right, Murray State releasing the 2018-19 men's basketball schedule yesterday, and I think all in all it's very good. It's 29 games. That means there's no exempt tournament. Those have become very difficult to get into, at least something that you can kind of live with. The networks and the major conferences have kind of taken over some of the better tournaments, which means when you're playing in the Maui Classic, you play in the Maui on the mainland games against teams on their court, and then they get to go to Hawaii and you don't. And those kind of things happen in many of those tournaments. Or you're getting a tournament where you're up against a team that is hosting and you have to play them on their home floor. So the ideal situation is get three neutral side games in a great location, and those dry up pretty quick. So as a result, they don't have those, but the Racers do have their schedule out. And again, it's not a bad one at all. I was happy right at the get-go when I saw that you can actually begin playing games November 6th. There will be college games November 6th. And I was hoping, please, please don't play that night, because it's election night. And the Racers accommodated. They will not play November 6th. They'll play an exhibition game instead on November 5th against Brescia. It's your first chance to get a real look at the team other than their Racer Mania or whatever they'll call it this year. And they'll schedule that at a time to be later. The actual opener, it's part of a football basketball doubleheader. Football in the afternoon. Actually, I think that is maybe a morning kickoff with SEMO. And then 11 a.m. And then Wright State comes in. It's part of a men's and women's doubleheader. Wright State and Murray State will battle. We'll tip that one off at 7 o'clock. They're the Horizon League tournament champions from last year. The Racers are then will be back in action on a Friday night, November 16th. They'll host Spalding. On Saturday, November 24th, it is Missouri State in a home game. So you go from the 10th to the 24th. I guess you could go from the 11th to the 24th. You have two games, so that's not a lot of basketball in there. Kind of a big gap. That's really the only beef I have, and that may be by design, or maybe they're just not able to get many other additional games. I'm not really sure what, but you get quite a long gap between November 10th and 16th, and then another one the 16th to the 24th. But then it gets real. On the 26th, the Racers will head to Alabama That'll close out in November, Saturday, December 1st, Prairie View A&M. December 8th, it is Middle Tennessee. I would assume that is finals week. That's the reason there are no games during the week of December 8th. The 12th, it is Southern Illinois in Carbondale. And by the way, that Middle Tennessee game, December 8th, will be in Murfreesboro. Then December 15th, Jackson State. Former Racer head coach Tavester Anderson, as I understand it, will be here and will be honored either during halftime or before the game. I'm not sure how they'll do that. It'll be great to see Tavester, one of my all-time favorites to ever work with. Just really love T. Then the Racers host Evansville December 18th. They go to Auburn December 22nd, take a few days off for Christmas, come back with I kind of always like these games right after Christmas. Sometimes you're not playing your best. Too much turkey, ham, desserts, cookies. And it's kind of good to have Bethel come in on the 29th before OVC season gets underway. First of 18 OVC games. The Racers get two at home. They get Moorhead January 3rd, Eastern Kentucky January 5th, then four straight on the road, January 10th and 12th at SEMO. Actually, at Martin the 10th, at SEMO the 12th, at Eastern Illinois the 17th, at Edwardsville the 19th, Belmont, the Thursday night home game. In the original schedule, that was a Saturday. They flip-flopped that with Tennessee State because usually TV wants that one on a Thursday night, and the OVC accommodates them, like having the TV game. Nothing wrong with that. So Belmont, Thursday the 24th, Tennessee State on Saturday the 26th. The Racers getting their longest road trip of the season as they play at Jacksonville State January 31st. That carries on over into February 2nd at Tennessee Tech. Then it's back home February 7th against Eastern Illinois, February 9th against SIU Edwardsville at the CFSB Center, on the road Thursday at Austin Peay, February 14th, Valentine's Day in Clarksville. Then we will leave the next morning and head to Richmond, Kentucky for the Saturday night game, February 16th at EKU. And the Racers will close the home portion of the regular, well, actually they do not. It's the final two-game schedule of the home portion of the regular season when they have UT Martin the 21st at the CFSB Center, SEMO the 23rd, then on the 28th, the final road game of the regular season at Moorhead State, and back home to end the regular season against Austin Peay on March 2nd. March 6th begins OVC tournament play on Wednesday. Of course, the Racers hope they don't play until Friday. That means that they will be one of the top two seeds, if that is the case. It's an exciting time. The Racers with John Morant, who's getting a lot of publicity, and he'll get even more this coming season. But they have, you know, depth as far as bigs go, depth with guards, pretty deep team. So if they can avoid the injury bug for any significant player, it should be a really fabulous season. Women's schedule, I assume, who knows, it could be released today. I know, as far as I know on that, it is basically done unless there's some sort of tweak they have to make. When I talked to Rochelle last time, it was basically finished, but it just hasn't been released yet. It could be released any day now. I'm not sure really what they're waiting on, but obviously there's something or they would have already released it. Volleyball results from last night. Murray High beats Galloway County 3-1. They lost the first, but then won three straight. Graves swept CCA. Hickman County swept Fulton City. St. Mary swept Fulton County. Clarksville Northwest swept Trigg County. Light soccer schedule on the girls' side. Trigg beat Crittenden County 3-1. Henderson County over Caldwell 10-0. On the boys' side, Tillman and St. Mary, a scoreless draw. Trigg beat Hopkins Central 5-0. All-A Classic Soccer begins tonight. Both boys and girls for Murray High will play Mayfield. In volleyball, Marshall County is at Callaway County and Murray High is at St. Mary. According to the Kentucky Prep Report, Zion Harmon will appeal last week's decision by the KHSAA, which ruled him ineligible to play basketball this season at Marshall County. Zion's father, Mike Harmon, said his son will sit before the appeals committee, and whatever they rule, they'll not complain. Harmon also told the Courier-Journal Monday his son was ruled ineligible because of KHSAA's Bylaw 6. It states varsity athletes must sit out 1 year after transferring, but the bylaw has multiple exceptions. Zion Harmon enrolled at Marshall County High School earlier this summer, his fourth school in 4 years. I know it has exceptions because my son was part of that. He went to Marshall County for 2 years Lived with his mom there. His mom moved to Louisville. He wanted to continue to go to school. Did so in this area, but had to move up here with me. Wanted to do that, so he ended up transferring to Callaway County. So because of bylaw 6, and it was a divorce kind of thing, that's the reason he was able to move here. So he didn't have to sit out. So there are exceptions to the rule. It does happen. We'll see how that turns out. I don't know when that appeals will happen. I don't know how long that process takes. Alabama will begin its quest for a second consecutive national championship as the number one team in the nation. It's the second team since 1985 to be number one 3 straight years. Oklahoma did it 85 through 87. Alabama getting 42 of 61 first place votes. Clemson number 2, Georgia 3rd, Wisconsin 4th, Ohio State 5th, Washington, Oklahoma, Miami, Auburn, and Penn State round out the top 10. Kentucky did pick up 1 vote. That's a start. Louisville head basketball coach Chris Mack has chosen his captains for the upcoming basketball season. Junior VJ King and senior Christian Cunningham, Cardinals captains. Cunningham transfer from Samford. They'll host a red-white scrimmage on October 13th. Louisville redshirt sophomore running back Tobias Little will probably miss the 2018 season with a knee injury. No details on that. Little was projected to be part of the Cardinals' backfield rotation that will shoulder a lot of the offensive workload after the departure of Lamar Jackson, your 2016 Heisman Trophy winner. Louisville also with some internal issues. They placed tight ends coach Chris Klinakis on administrative leave after his arrest on driving under the influence and other charges. An arrest report says Klinakis' SUV nearly hit a barrier wall multiple times, including a construction zone with active workers. That's not good. He was charged with reckless driving, wanton endangerment, and possession of open containers. The Cardinals had a 3-0 lead when I went to bed last night. They lost it, but then back-to-back homers from Jed Jerko and Matt Carpenter in the 9th inning gave the Cardinals the victory. Jerko talked about his homer.
You want to be in those situations. You know, that's those are situations that you know, you like to put yourself in and like to be able to produce and help the team. But, you know, just obviously looking for a, you know, cutter to hit and got something up out over the zone, put a good swing on it.
Jose Martinez hit his own solo shot in the first, had an RBI single in the 5th for St. Louis. Manager Mike Schilt likes the way his team's playing.
Yeah, I know we're right in that mix. You know, we obviously we're not oblivious to standings, but we pay attention to, you know, that day and that competition of that day and try to win that game. So, yeah, I know we're in a good spot and, you know, plan to move forward.
Tonight, the Cardinals send Daniel Ponce de Leon against LA's Hyunjin Ryu. It's a 9-10 game. 8:15 is the airtime on WNBS. Yadier Molina's streak of consecutive starts is over. The Cardinals catcher out of the starting lineup last night. His 27 consecutive starts had set a big league record for a catcher 35 or older, and it's the longest such streak in the majors in a decade. Molina's streak 2 games shy of the club record 29 straight, which was set by Ted Simmons in 1979. Down on the farm, Memphis Redbirds head to the Big Easy for a 3-game series with the Baby Cakes. Memphis is first in the division, 76-50. They're 9 up on second place in Nashville. Speaking of Nashville, the Sounds and the Louisville Bats return to action today. The Sounds visit Round Rock. The Bats will host the Mudhens. The Tennessee Titans seek their first win of the preseason Saturday when they visit the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Titans yesterday signed defensive back Joshua Kalu and placed Kalen Reed on the injured reserve. Former UT quarterback Sterling Hinton is having a case against him dismissed. In June, Hinton was charged for allegedly trying to deposit a counterfeit check at the Y-12 Federal Credit Union. Yesterday, the case was dismissed. The judge said the dismissal was based on new evidence and Hinton's continued cooperation. And Murray State Track and Field and Cross Country has announced plans for the 5th annual Racer 5K run that will be held September 29th at 8 a.m. It starts at the Susan Barnfine Recreation and Wellness Center. They'll finish at the Marshall Gage Track inside Stewart Stadium. A Racer T-shirt goes to those who sign up online by September 25th. You can still register on race day at the starting line, 7 a.m. to 7:45 a.m. The cost is $25, and the MSU student price is $20. Families can get a deal. Pay $25 for the first 2 runners, $15 for any additional runners. If participants bring 5 or more canned food items, they get $5 off their entry fee. All cans canned goods go to Needline. The winner of each age group and each gender will receive a prize. All right, that'll wrap it up. Coming up on tomorrow's show, Ed Marlowe will be along. We'll talk, I'm sure, about the basketball schedule, the week one high school football results. What's up for week two? That'll be on tomorrow's show. Hope to catch you here.
You have been listening to The Neil Bradley Show, or you have fast-forwarded to this point and skipped the show entirely. Tune in weekdays for The Neil Bradley Show on 1340WNBS.com or subscribe free by searching for The Neil Bradley Show on the iTunes podcast app. The Neil Bradley Show is a presentation of WNBS Sports in conjunction with Forever Communications.